Happy Friday, everybody. You made it. I knew you would. Good job this week. Thanks so much for kicking off the weekend a little bit early with us here on the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here. Ricky and Pam are standing by, and we're going to have a fun discussion about Walt Disney World trip planning, and we're going to talk about when you take the toddlers, how can you help them to have the best vacation experience possible? And let's face it, when the toddlers have a better trip, the adults and the older kids have a better trip. We're going to talk about helping them to avoid the meltdowns and have a great trip, get some great photos and memories from the trip. So stand by for that. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Magic for Less Travel. The Magic for Less has again in 2018 been named a Platinum Earmarked Agency, which means Disney has again recognized them for being the best of the best when it comes to planning trips to Disney destinations. So the next time you're headed to a Disney destination like Walt Disney World, Disneyland, sailing with Disney Cruise Line, or even Adventures by Disney, work with the best out there. And they are the folks over at the Magic for Less. Cost you nothing extra. You get lots of great booking bonuses as well. So drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free, no obligation quote, and an agent will get back to you right away. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. A huge thank you to everybody who continues to use our Amazon affiliate link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that so very much. You always get your Prime benefits. It'll cost you nothing extra, and it is the easiest way to support the show. So if you don't mind, bookmark the site. Use it anytime you shop online. Again, it's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1444 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. I told you at the top of the show, you made it. Congratulations. Happy Friday. We're glad you're here. And we're kicking off the weekend early, as we do, with some fun Disney talk. And today, we are helping you plan a better Walt Disney World vacation. That's why we're here. And we're getting feedback from our live chat here on Facebook to give tips for taking the toddlers to Walt Disney World. And let me just say, on that topic, I have one piece of advice right off the top of the show. One thing to remember when you take a toddler, and I've been there, and sometimes my 11-year-old still acts like a toddler at Walt Disney World. If you've traveled with me, you know that. Even my 22-year-old sometimes acts like, you know what, if I don't eat enough, sometimes I act like a toddler. But here's the one thing to remember. Remember, if you're taking a toddler to Walt Disney World, they are in control of the trip. You are not. I'm just saying. We're going to try to swing the power back around on today's show. A couple of programming notes right off the top of the show. First of all, next week, we're going to kind of reverse the order of the Wednesday and the Friday shows. We're going to flip them around because of Valentine's Day. Wednesday, we're going to do our annual Is This Romantic podcast, where you submit situations down at Walt Disney World that could be of questionable romanticness. And we will, as a triumvirate up here, we will determine if that is a great romantic idea or if you may need to go back to the drawing board with that situation to maybe spice it up a little bit more to make it romantic. So, for example, you know, I put this on the Facebook page. You know, a footlong hot dog, two Cokes, and some sauerkraut at Casey's. Is this romantic? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. We would judge that and talk you through it and talk about maybe how to improve it.
I think the sauerkraut kind of acts. Sauerkraut killed that.
Take that off the table. You might have an idea.
Okay, I can go with that. Chili dog, even with cheese, still okay.
Yeah, still okay.
When the sauerkraut goes on, the romance goes with it.
You've got it.
And that's what you're getting.
Same with onions. If you're putting onions on, it goes out the window too. Just saying.
And that's what you're getting next Wednesday to get you ready for Valentine's Day next Thursday. Yes. So we need your help. We need your help right away this weekend and early next week. Because remember, we record on Mondays. We need you to use hashtag IsThisRomantic with a situation down at Walt Disney World you want us to judge. You can also drop by the Facebook page. We'll have a thread going on Facebook. So you can use Twitter or Facebook, or if you see one of our posts on Instagram, put it in the comments. We'll check all the social media. But give us some, and that's going to be what we use on Wednesday. Friday, we'll flip to the listener questions. So we'll have everything there, just kind of a little bit out of whack next week for Valentine's Day. But anyway, today we're talking toddlers, and joining me today to give some tips, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Happy Friday, Ricky.
Happy Friday! Yay! I'm excited. I get to dress up tonight. So it's Brian's annual work party celebration, and I get to get all fancy and dressed up, and I'm kind of excited about it. I don't get to get dressed up like this very often, so I'm happy.
You guys will be doing the senior picks, the prom picks, like you always do. I love those.
Yes, absolutely. There will be prom pictures because I bought a brand new dress, and I'm ready to show it off. So I bought two dresses because I like both of them so much. So now I have one for next year. But yeah, I'm really excited about my dress.
Can you do superlatives too, like after you're done? Like I think that's one of the things that makes a yearbook. Like you got to do the picture and then
absolutely
most likely to hang on with sauerkraut or whatever.
Exactly. That would definitely be Brian and I. I'm really excited about getting all dressed up and yeah, prom pictures galore tonight.
So will Brian be bringing home a corsage, a wrist corsage, or the?
Oh my gosh! You know 90s. What is funny is he's joked. At least I hope joked about the fact that he's going to buy me a corsage.
Yes,
I'm like, please don't buy me. Corsage.
We think just alike. That's right. Is this romantic? A corsage is always romantic. Especially a wrist one.
So I may or may not have a corsage if he actually decides to do it. He'll probably forget and or not do it, but it may happen.
It has
happen.
To be
I don't
carnations.
Know.
It has to be carnations.
Absolutely. It would have to be carnations. But then I'd feel really weird wearing the corsage on my arm. So,
no, you just do it.
As
you
an
do
adult.
It because he was thoughtful. And it's got to have baby's breath. Whatever baby's breath is, it always had baby's breath.
Absolutely.
Anyway, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Boy, we're going down memory lane here today. What's
for
up, Pam?
Sure. I swear I went to dances where I'm like at the floral shop, like, and I would like his boutonniere to match my dress,
yes,
which is like a burgundy. It's not like a bright burgundy. It's like a dark burgundy. So I want the rose that's in it with the baby's breath to match my dress. And then when he comes in to order mine, it should be da-da-da-da-da. So anyways, I mean, you know, of course you had to do
got
that.
Got it.
That's awesome.
I will not be buying Brian a boutonniere. It's just not happening. So...
What? Not happening. After he's so thoughtful and hinted that he might be getting your corsage. What the heck, Ricky? So anyways.
It's not happening.
Next time we're all at Disney World, corsages and boutonnieres for everybody.
Those were the
we'll
days,
do
though.
A senior photo shot.
Those were the days, though, when those were the biggest, the most stressful things in our lives. We're like, oh my gosh, I got to get the right corsage for prom. Oh,
yes,
it'll be ruined.
True. I'm going to start working on my pose now.
There you go. Okay. You know how Ricky is. All right, let's get to the topic at hand. We're talking toddlers today, taking toddlers down to Walt Disney World. And of course, when you think of toddlers, here's the good thing, because if you've had a toddler, which I have and Pam has, and I'm sure Ricky, at some point you'll be blessed with a toddler.
Because
I hope, because I want to mess with that kid and just, you know, it's nothing better than when your friends have like little kids and you can just like give them candy and sugar and stuff and
that's
just
right.
Like, you know, oh, I can't wait, man, that's gonna rock. So anyway, that's gonna be so fun. But I never thought
thanks.
About that, but that's gonna be great. This would be like fun Uncle Mike right there, as we said on Wednesday.
Really little, excited about this
right.
prospect now.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
Uncle
happen.
Mike oh, and Aunt Pam are going to be two very bad influences on my potential future children.
Oh, man.
Guaranteed.
So the best benefit of taking a toddler to Walt Disney World is, of course, if you're a Disney fan, you know that until the age of three, children are free for admission to the Disney theme park. So that has some advantages. Obviously, it's a cost advantage. One of the questions I get sometimes, Pam, let me ask you about this because there isn't really a definitive answer with Disney, but I've seen this question come up actually in my work as a travel agent and just online and social media. It's because my kids are tall. I'm 6'3". My kids have been tall. Some people ask, you know, well, I have a 2-year-old who's really tall and looks like they're 4. Does Disney ever like challenge that? I mean, I know there's like, you know, it's kind of an honesty is the best policy kind of thing. But I mean, what advice do you give somebody that does have a kid? I mean, Mallory looks older than she does right now at 11. You know, it's like, what do you do in that kind of situation?
Yeah, it's so here's the thing that I think is the easiest way to do it. If it's something you're even concerned about or thinking about, pull out their old birth certificate, snap a photo of it, keep it on your phone in your favorites. You can easily find it. And then boom, you have the proof right there. Disney absolutely can challenge it. Is it something that they do all the time? No, I don't think so. But it's absolutely in their prerogative to do so. I mean, you know, the cutoff is this, your child has to be this age or younger. So they're perfectly within their rights to ask. So just save the stress and don't think about it again by taking the picture of that birth certificate.
Yeah, if a kid's got a mustache, you know, don't try it. It's even though I did have friends like in elementary school, like in sixth grade, that had mustaches. And I was always jealous, but I still can't grow a mustache. I'm 45.
Mike, you can't grow a mustache. I know. Now.
You better start growing for your senior picture or you're not going to get like best facial hair.
But you know what? Those friends that have mustaches back in sixth grade, they're all bald now. You know what? And I have to go to Great Clips every 3 weeks. So, meh. That's how that roll. I still have plenty of hair. All right. Anyways, let's talk toddlers. So another question that we get about toddlers is dining. And especially if you're using the Disney dining plan. So Ricky, address that off the top of the show. When you're on a Disney dining plan, obviously a toddler is on the reservation. They might be on the room reservation, but they don't have tickets and they don't have dining plan entitlement. So how does that work?
Right. So they don't have dining plan entitlements, but they get, I mean, it's not like Disney's going to say they can't eat. Now, if you do get like a meal, like an actual meal, you know, at a table service restaurant or something like that off the kids menu, then you will likely have to pay for that. Right. I know that with buffets, they don't make you pay, but with like,
yeah,
if they
you're
order
buying
an actual,
them their own meal, then
yeah, if you're buying them their own meal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, exactly. Now they can eat off your plate at, mm-hmm. say, a, you know, a table service restaurant or a buffet. But they can't like have you, if you, once you order a specific meal for them, they can't. Yeah, they can't. You have to pay for that meal. So just keep that in mind.
So Pam, what are your thoughts on that too?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something you're going to want to consider. You know, is your child, like, we have people that come to us and say, like, my child legit eats more than
that's my brother. My coworker, he talks about it all the time, about his two twin toddlers are, like, just ravenous machines. They eat more than he does.
Right. Absolutely. If that's the case, you're going to want to consider getting them their own meals, just ordering them. And typically what you can do, although there really isn't a dining plan workaround for that in that case, because in order to get one of the dining plans, you have to be of a certain age. And then if you are of that certain age, then you would have to buy tickets. So the best news is what you should do is get the dining plan for those who, you know, really qualify for it, and then just pay out of pocket for the kids' meals. So
I will say, I remember when Mallory was, now this isn't like when she was two, this was probably when she was, you know, maybe 9 months old to one, when she was just starting to eat. Like, I remember, like, she would just supplement during meals if, like, you know, I guess she was still in bottles. I'm terrible at this stuff, but she was eating like Cheerios and stuff, you know, like some transitional foods. And Disney would bring out like applesauce or something like that. And they never charged us for it. I mean, they'd be like, you know, does the baby want applesauce? And, you know, I remember a table service that we never got charged for that stuff. I mean, I wouldn't expect it, but it did happen.
I'm sure that Disney has some discretion of, you know, the cast members have discretion of what they can do. I mean, they're not going to let your poor baby starve. Well, it's, you know, you're sitting there and, you know, in that situation, they definitely try to offer something. But yeah, they're not going to just make it sit there while you're eating.
So do we have any other tips as far as getting your toddler through dining? Because here's the thing about Walt Disney World and dining. I just want to start here because I think this is one of the most stressful times to have a kid at Walt Disney World. Because when you're at a theme park and you're not dining and you're kind of running around, there's going to be challenges there, but at least they're outside. It's, you know, there's restaurants tend to be quieter, you know, more tight with everybody sitting at a table. And when a kid throws a fit in a restaurant, that's bad news for everybody. You know, the waiter, the waitress, the people around you, of course, your family. Pam, what did you learn over the years as far as getting, because, you know, as fun as dining is for the adults, it could be a torturous 90-minute experience for a 2-year-old. I mean, what do you suggest, Pam?
So there's a couple of things. First of all, you all know the kind of snacks that your child really likes. And it's the kind of snacks that, like, you pull out, like, in case of emergency, right? We all had them. Maybe they were Cheerios. Maybe they were Goldfish crackers. Maybe they were little bits of apple. Whatever it is, make sure you bring those with you or order them from, like, Garden Grocers or something like that. So you have a very good supply of these things and you carry with them with you often. You do not run out of these things.
You can bring those things into the park with you because I know a lot of people question, can I bring food into the park? Yes, you absolutely can. So if you need little snacks like this or granola bars or whatever, you can bring those in with you. So I just wanted to specify that real quick.
Right, absolutely. So you can bring those in. You can also bring in whatever they like to drink and things like that. So don't be afraid to do that. That's absolutely within your rights. So make sure you do that. Something that we did when Hannah got a little older and we were going to a table service restaurant or someplace where we really wanted her to be quiet, we could usually entertain her until our food came out. And we would say, you know, when our food comes out, bring her ice cream and then or whatever dessert she wanted.
That's a good bread right there.
And then she had the ice cream. We had our food. We either would get her like something after that or, you know, let's say we got her something before. I mean, come on, you're all on vacation. Everybody wants to have a little something, you know, so think of that. Another issue that we ran into was she was eating a lot of chocolate milk and a lot of macaroni and cheese, which she did not get at home. So be aware that if your child's on a very varied diet from what they get at home, that will cause other things, you know, that could cause other repercussions. Keep that in mind and think about it. Like try to get in, you know, some stuff like if they always eat such and such at breakfast, make sure that they have that. If they always get some fruits and vegetables, get those in at some point during the day. Even if you don't order from like Garden Grocer or something like that, there are fruit stands and there are things like that where you can pick stuff up. So remember that. And if worse comes to worse and you're at a restaurant and you're dying, ask a cast member for help. Like, do you happen to have fill in the blank, whatever your child really enjoys eating? Like Mike said, the cast members have some discretion at that, and I'm sure that they'll try to help. So,
I always call that, Pam, when the kids are eating what they're not used to eating and they get in. When I was finishing up my teaching career and I had like 79 sick days still, so I took a couple at the end there, what I would put on the line in our sub computer thing, I called it gastrointestinal distress.
There are, and what's funny is when Hannah was little, this is going to be so TMI, but when Hannah was little,
I love that story then.
She never had diaper rash, but when we were on vacation, that was the one time that she did get it because of whatever. She was still in a diaper, like she was little. So, I mean, just be prepared for things like that. They're going to be eating weird stuff and things get crazy, just like they do with adults when you're eating.
Well, we're eating weird stuff too. One other thing I want to suggest too is, you know, you may get the menu of what they have and not, if they're like really picky, you know, and they don't like anything that's on the menu, but they say they don't have mac and cheese on the menu, but that is what they want. And you go to this restaurant, you can ask if they can make mac and cheese, and more than likely they will happily oblige and bring you said mac and cheese. So, for those, you know, food specific things, like for picky eaters like that, or if they only eat chicken nuggets, Mike, for Paige, if you ask for that, you can absolutely, they will absolutely do what they can to get that for you. I mean, they understand the picky eater thing with toddlers and even young children and even 22 year olds.
No, it's embarrassing when you got to ask for chicken nuggets for your kid that's drinking a beer with you.
Exactly.
It's a little strange. Okay, so Greg's got a great comment in the chat, and we appreciate our chatters again Mondays around 5:30 Eastern. We record these live, and he says, we went with our 15-month-year-old. Do the buffets where the food comes out quick, or places where the food comes out quick. That's, you're right. Speed is of the essence, or, you know, you just want to get the food to the kids. And Helena says, quick service places are awesome for toddlers because they're usually so busy, and there's a lot of background noise. No one seems to care when the kids have meltdowns. Definitely bring all the snacks too. It helps a ton. And you know what? I say everybody should bring snacks because you could be stuck in a 90-minute line and you maybe some goldfish will tide you over to your lunch. You know, I'm all about that. So let's get outside the dining, but I want to start there because that's where I always see a lot of issues with toddlers. Ricky, what about just touring the parks and maybe what to bring other than snacks or just tips for somebody taking a toddler for the first time?
I mean, you absolutely want to make sure that you have the essentials. So, you know, if you've got the diapers or you've got, you know, sippy cups or, you know, bottles, if they're still doing that, or, you know, make sure you bring those. And I know that it's hard, but make sure you bring extra. If you need to have them delivered, you know, Garden Grocer or Amazon or something like that is a great option. Make sure you have those that done. It's just going to save you room in your luggage. And then you make sure that you have those things while you're there. And I know it's kind of a pain, but, you know, you do need those things. So if for some reason you run out of something or something like that, the great thing is you're not, you know, out anything. You can actually go to the baby care centers, which are, there's one in each park, and they will happily help you. Now, those are great for, you know, moms in general, if they're nursing or whatever. They can change a diaper in there if they need to, or, you know, they do sell some items. So if you've, you know, run out of something like formula or diapers or whatever, they are more than happy to oblige and sell you those items. So just know that you'll have to pay for anything like you've forgotten like that, but they'll be happy to help you. Another thing that I see is kind of a common thing and something that a lot of people don't think about is make sure you bring a stroller because you're going to need it. If you have a stroller though, and you've rented it, make sure you know how to fold said stroller down. Because let me tell you, they will yell at you if you don't fold said stroller down. I witnessed this firsthand a couple of weeks ago when this gentleman kept trying to fit his stroller onto the parking tram full, like, you know, not broken down because he couldn't figure out how to break down the stroller.
Poor guy.
I'm like, he'd sit there. I mean, he was trying for a good five minutes. And the cast member is sitting there yelling at him because he keeps trying to pick the stroller up and put it in the tram. And the cast member is like, sir, you have to take your stroller down. You can't put a stroller on. I felt awful for him too. I don't know if I don't think he ever managed to get the stroller on. I think the cast member might have just had mercy and just let him.
They should have just hitched it up to the back and just dragged it like a trailer. I mean, come on.
I know, right? I don't know. But just kind of make sure that you know how to break down the stroller. Make sure also that you can take the things. You're going to have to take the baby out of the stroller, so make sure you do that. Make sure you take the things that are in the stroller out of there. And then another really helpful tip that I think people don't think about is, if you're going through security, you are going to have that stroller checked. So that means that if there are bags in the stroller, please take those bags out of the stroller and have them ready for this Disney security to check those, because they're going to have to check them. And I've been behind many a stroller where they didn't realize that they were going to have to check. You know, they had the purse all ready to go, but they didn't realize that the bag in the stroller was going to have to be checked as well. So just make sure you have any bag you possibly have ready to go and checked, because they will have to check that for you.
I will say, when you're talking about strollers, we got some great comments I want to share here in the chat in a second. But what we learned is, you know, and I've said this on the podcast before, obviously we've been doing it over a decade now, but when we had Mallory and we were getting ready to go for that first trip, I researched strollers like you would research a sports car. And I found this stroller and we spent like $250 on this umbrella stroller. I still remember because it's still in the back of the Trailblazer. It was called a McLaren. And it was a really, really super nice, like British made umbrella stroller. But the thing was, we used it for like 5 years and many trips, and it paid for itself because it was super light, folded up easy, you know, and we used it all the time. Here's a tip though for those folks that are taking, because you get to the point where you're trying to decide whether your kid needs a stroller or not. You know, it's like they're 5 or 4. I don't know what, whenever, because I mean, the thing you got to remember about Walt Disney World, even if your kid isn't using a stroller at home, they're also not walking like they do at right. Walt Disney World. They got a lot of steps on them.
I don't walk like I do.
Yeah, nobody does. So yeah, even when your kid is probably what you deem too old to need a stroller anymore, a lot of times what we would do, especially like at the Magic Kingdom, is we'd take the stroller to the park. We would park it at the front of the park, like say over by the meet and greet for Mickey or Tinkerbell at the Magic Kingdom. We'd park it in that area and we would just leave it there and go without it. But the thing was, when we needed it later in the day or at night, we had it in the park. We could easily go retrieve it. Mallory had a place to chill and she had a good spot. If we didn't need it, we grabbed it on the way out of the park. It was right as we left. So even if you're like in that transitional area, it's a good idea to take the stroller park it in the park. Don't even use it until you need it, but it's there because you don't want to need it later and not have it. That's a tough situation. So, Pam, anything else kind of along these lines is getting around the theme parks?
Just, you know, I think the stroller is a great idea. Even if you don't think that you're going to need it, bring it anyway. Or rent one. There's some great stroller vendors I know that we work with that will drop the stroller off at your resort and then we'll come pick it up. I think it's always better to rent from an outside vendor than it is to get the strollers in the parks, because then you have it around the resort. You have it at Disney Springs. You have it. You aren't waiting in line to get a stroller at the beginning of the day, and you aren't waiting to drop it off.
It's not the hard plastic stroller that Disney has either.
It is. So I think that those are, you know, great tips too, to make sure the stroller is key. It's just a key part of the situation.
So I got to get to these comments real quick before we give some more of our tips. Joanne says table service places bring Princess Haley's meals right away. I mean, she probably runs the restaurant though. Haley is just too darn cute. So she probably gets whatever she wants. She also says hang out in the baby center. Those things are so, you know, if you're having a child that's just needs to get away from the stimulus of a Disney theme park. And if you're the parent that needs to get away from the stimulus of your meltdown toddler and everything else going on, go to a baby care center. They're tranquil. They're quiet. They're awesome. I remember going in there with Pam. Amanda says the Garden Grill is her favorite place for value and less intense for any kiddos that might get easily overstimulated. Any toddler, she says her son is 5 and has sensory processing issues at times. Perfect place for a party of 10 for his 5th birthday lunch. So there you go, Garden Grill. You know, you got the characters coming around, you're rotating. It's not real quiet in there. It's a good idea. I like it. Amber says she likes the Zoe stroller and says it's easy up and down, huge canopy to block the sun, very lightweight. Oh, Amanda's bringing up one more thing for dining. I had this on my list. I didn't get to it. Mobile ordering. Now this is, I hate to say it because I don't want everybody in the world using mobile ordering because then it's not as effective for me as a Disney fan. But you know what? We're a family here. We're an Ohana. Even if you don't have kids, please use mobile ordering. I used it over Marathon Weekend. It was so odd. You want to feel like a rock star? Order that stuff. And I think the thing too with kids is the less, you know, time you have to wait for anything to happen, the better off you're going to be with a kid. Because when they say they're hungry, that means they were hungry 30 minutes ago. They're like starving at that point. So Pam, I mean, I say mobile order every single time, because then you can kind of get your kids, you know what they like, but you can put it right there on the app. Boom, you check in. I'm here. Boom, they make your food and you got it within 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's a great, I mean, I think that, you know, in all the things that have come out of using My Disney Experience and other things like that, in terms of being able to make dining reservations on the app, one of the greatest things is being able to mobile order. And I think more people really need to use it. I don't know if they're just not familiar with it or not sure how to use it. But you can use it now when you're on the dining plan. So that's a big plus. I know for a while you weren't able to do that and now you can. So, just keep that in mind, but mobile order, anything you can do to take time out of waiting for something when you're traveling with toddlers is a very, very good thing.
Ricky, didn't they just update My Disney Experience in the past week to include things like Dole Whips and, you know, snacks now in the mobile order? I thought I saw that somewhere.
I know that they just updated the app or they are working on it. I don't know exactly. I know it rolled out first for Disneyland and then it was going to roll out for Walt Disney World a little bit later. So I haven't had the opportunity to really dive into it. But yeah, again, like you said, mobile order is absolutely key, even for grumpy adults who want to have food. So
for real, I'm a toddler when I'm hungry, man. It's like I'm a walking Snickers commercial. All right. Yes. Helena also says the midday break is also key with toddlers. I know Mike's a big fan of the pool nap break. You know it. Without that time to decompress and nap, I don't think the whole day would be possible. I cannot agree enough. And I think adults can do this to their advantage. That depends. I think with the kids, it's a necessity every single time. I think the most important thing with kids is to keep them on a similar schedule to what they're used to. If they take naps at home, they better take naps at Walt Disney World or else you are just running for Meltdown City, say around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But I think it's great for adults too, because we're trying to give everybody something in today's show. And I think what a midday break does, say you're just a couple going down there for a week. Now I don't do the midday breaks over Marathon Weekend because obviously I'm back in the hotel room at 7 or 8 o'clock to go to bed, getting up at 2:30 in the morning. So my schedule's all off for that weekend. But if I'm on vacation, what I like to do is rope drop a park, get out of there by like noon or 1 o'clock, back to the hotel. I take a nap. The girls usually swim or do whatever they want to do. And what that does, it does a couple things. First of all, it gets you off your feet during the hottest part of the day when it's hot down in Florida. It also, like you said, you can decompress. And what it does for me, it resets my day because I go to a different park in the evening. So I get like a Magic Kingdom experience in the morning, maybe a Disney's Hollywood Studios experience at night. And it makes it like 2 days in one, but I'm refreshed for the evening. I grab a shower before I go back out if it's hot in July, you know, and I change clothes and I'm fresh and I'm ready for a great night. So Pam, I know you're an advocate of this, keeping the kids on that same schedule. I think that's crucial for toddlers.
Heck, I think keeping people on the same schedule is crucial for adults. Yes. I mean, you know, it just is. You get tired and you're walking around so much. So it's just something to think about, you know, realize that you may be staying up a little late, but compensate by letting yourself sleep in a little bit later too. I think that's important. But yes, especially for kids, it's very important to make sure that they're getting the sleep that they're used to. I think so many times kids today just don't nap as often as they should. There's so much stimulation in their lives. They don't get time to learn how to self-soothe and things like that, right? And so they need you as parents to help them do that. And one of the things we used to do, this is crazy, I can remember doing this the first couple times we took Hannah. It was really challenging to go back to the room and take a nap. She just didn't want to do it. Now, some kids don't have a problem with it. If we had her, we brought her actual stroller that could lay the whole way down. And we put a blanket like over her. She would fall asleep. It was just like the motion. And on one of her first trips, she was so little and we were desperate. I knew that if she did not sleep, things would go very, very bad. We got in the car and drove around. And we did that a couple times. It just happens. It's the stuff that you do for your kids. But that's absolutely important to just try to keep them on that same schedule.
And one of the things kind of on that same note, you drove Hannah around to kind of soothe her and get her away from all the stimulus. You know, Walt Disney World has amazing transportation options. So it'd be very simple to, you know, say you're at Epcot and you just need a little downtime, just jump on that boat to the studios. That's 45 minutes of sitting on a boat. And the kids enjoy, especially toddlers, they love like trains and boats and monorails. I mean, the thing is, just do a couple loops on the monorail loop. I mean, I still remember when I went down in fifth grade, like the monorail was one of my favorite things we did. I didn't know it was an attraction. It was cool. You know, I'm from Missouri and it still is one of my favorite things. So I would say, you know, even and especially I remember Mallory telling me one of her favorite things was riding the buses because she didn't have to sit in a car seat, you know, when she was like three, you know, because she could just sit in a seat like a big girl and talk to people. I mean, she enjoyed that. So don't discount the Disney transportation. So let's throw it. We got about 5 or 10 more minutes. Let's throw in a couple more tips to help folks out. What do you think?
So I think that, you know, one of the things that is so big, and I have a friend who's actually taking a trip down to Walt Disney World, and she's spending, you know, a little bit of time there. And actually, Mike, you're helping her. Yes. But she wanted to know what to do for the day. They're going on a cruise, and she kind of wanted to know what to do for the day. And one of the things that I told her, and it's things that I think that people don't really think about is, you know, go, especially like Epcot, you know, I know a lot of people think that those parks are not for kids, you know, but there really is a lot of things that's there for kids. You know, go to the Seas with Nemo and, you know, yeah, you've got the attraction there, but you've also got something like Turtle Talk with Crush, which, you know, is such a perfect thing for children. I mean, really, I think so many people forget about that attraction that it even exists. But, you know, there's something so special about having your child be able to ask Crush an actual question and have him answer back. There's all the exhibits that are in that pavilion as well of you know, the sea life that's there and everything that you can explore that so many people kind of, I think, rush by so much. That's perfect for toddlers. You've got the whole area in the imagination section, which is, you know, great for toddlers too at the end of the attraction. There's just so many of those little things like that that I think that people forget about. They even have, you know, especially for the festival season, although I think now it might be a permanent addition, they have a Wreck-It Ralph like jungle gym play area that's over kind of by Test Track that you can go have your child play on. I know that it's there right now. I suspect it'll be there through a Flower and Garden because usually they have some sort of play area over there for that. You know, don't forget about the splash, the pop jets that are in Epcot, or don't forget about the ones that are at the Magic Kingdom back in Storybook Circus. And by the way, if you're doing those, make sure you have a change of clothes.
Yes, because bring they will clothes. Get and drenched. Those, and those diapers will go whoosh.
Yes, they will That's get true. Drenched. So, you know, it's just little things like that. Like, there's a lot of great little attractions for the kiddos to do that, you know, you think, oh, there's not a lot. But there really is a lot. And Epcot is one of those parks that I think that that happens at the most is that people just kind of forget about all the educational, that edutainment experience that you get at Epcot. And, you know, I think that that's a really a good, can be a really good park for toddlers. You just kind of got to know where to look.
And parenting tip, if you're going to Disney Springs, avoid that end, you know, where the Once Upon a Toy was, like, because they have those huge pop jets there. And any toddler is going to want to run through those things January to July. They don't care. And, you know, like, they're going to enjoy it for, like, the first 5 seconds, and then they're going to be wet for the next 3 hours that you wanted to spend in Disney Springs. They're going to be whining. So just, like, you got to distract them. If you go to Earl of Sandwich or something, distract them. Don't let them get in those things, man. Bring, they're just magnets.
Bring extra clothes. Yeah. Just make sure you have extra clothes. And you know what? You may want to throw in another pair of extra clothes too, just in case, because it's better to have two pairs of extra clothes or more than not have enough.
For the adult? Because you got to go in after them to get them? Like,
yeah, exactly.
If the kid's really smart, they're like standing right in the middle. Because that one at Disney Springs has like 1,000 pop jets. Like, they're just going to stand in the middle like, I dare you to come get me. How lucky do you feel? Can you make it in and out before those things go off? How lucky do you feel, sucker? That's exactly, that'd be Mallory. She'd just be grinning at me like, how lucky do you feel? You gonna come get me? You, come on, man. She was something. All right, Pam, final thoughts for tips for taking toddlers.
So I think one of the things that you're always going to want to do when you're traveling with toddlers is don't overschedule your time. It just, you know, remember that this is a time that you're going to need extra time to get places. You're going to need extra time to get from one attraction to the next, extra meal times. So there's going to be meals you didn't even plan on eating that you find yourself eating, you know, for one reason or another. It really is not about how much you get done with toddlers. Really focus on the fact that they're going to find things really magical that you never anticipated. They're going to find magic in some little thing or something, and they're going to want to do it again and again. And that's awesome because they're really discovering that kind of magic. I mean, that's the thing. We get so many questions like, what age is too young to take your child to Disney? You know, they're like, oh, they won't remember it. No, they won't remember it sometimes because they're too young, but you'll remember it. And there are so many little things that I did when Hannah was little that she wouldn't remember, right? I mean, think of, she's not going to remember any of this. But what it does is it helps them develop into a full and complete little person. That's what travel does for you. And I think especially travel to Disney destinations, it helps us all sort of develop into the people that we become. But especially for little kids, there's such value in exposing them to things that they aren't used to and letting them really kind of be immersed in the fantasy that is a Disney vacation. So just embrace that as well and take a gamillion pictures.
Get Memory Maker when you take the toddlers. You're going to want those images with all of you. So that's a good investment. Also, we can't get out of here without mentioning the characters, meeting characters. Jennifer brings up a great point in the chat. She says, not all kids will love the characters. Start with face characters if you can, which are the, you know, the characters that are not dressed in the suits, you know, or the, you know, have the, you know, the big fuzzy characters. And that's a great point. And I would say even furthermore, if they're old enough, you know, say like 2 or 3, have them meet some kind of characters around your town, maybe before you go down, maybe like a Chuck E. Cheese, or I don't even know what's around anymore where you would go. I don't know. But I mean, just the familiarity. And you're right. I mean, I think a lot of us think that, oh, well, you know, in the planning video, you have all these, you know, 18-month-old right. kids that are having a great time with Mickey Mouse, you know, but then your kid, you know, Mickey comes around the corner, you're in Town Square, and all of a sudden it's like, ah, you know, because I mean, dude, a 4.5-foot mouse is chasing your kid. I mean, get right. real. It's not natural. I mean, come on. I mean, I know we understand it, but they probably don't. So that's a great tip. So I would say, you know, do some practice runs. I can't. Ricky, where would you go in town, though, besides like a Chuck E. Cheese to meet like a character, kind of get them, you know, a little green?
So any like sports games? I mean, that's you know, true. if you've that's got true. a
Fred Bird.
You know, a major team, or even if you've got like a minor league team or something like that, you know, those are going to be a great way to get an idea of how your child would react to a larger than life character like that. So if you don't have like a Chuck E. Cheese, I think that's going to be a really good option right there to do something like that.
I would say, yeah, though, if you're in Philadelphia, don't go meet Gritty, that new mascot.
No, right?
I've had nightmares myself about that guy. I do not want to meet Gritty on a dark alley. That thing is just I don't know who designed that. That's the weirdest mascot ever.
It's not good.
It is not. All right. Anyway, well, we hope that you got something out of today's show. We appreciate it so much. But here's where the fun comes in. We're going to have a thread going on our Facebook page, facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. Drop in your tips, because these tips are great for traveling with toddlers. But a lot of these things can help with teens and with seniors and with people that are 40 years old like ourselves. So you know what? It's just, we want to have better vacations. But when we brainstorm all together, there's a lot of times, hey, I didn't think about that. And it's going to help us to all have better vacations. So again, drop in the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the great folks over at The Magic for Less. And Pam, I do want to say, you got to show off the trophy again. We're proud. We really do work really hard at The Magic for Less to give every single guest the vacation they dream about at the lowest cost possible. But it was fun to see the trophy again this year. And don't give it to Jeanette, by the way.
I know. I know. You know what? There are so many days when I wake up just so proud of our team and just the passion that everyone has for making sure that guests that book with us really experience a wonderful vacation. It just is so awesome. We don't get the opportunity to chat about this very much because it really isn't the place for it. But our team is really passionate about this. It takes that passion, I think, to remain engaged and deal with all the challenges that the Disney systems put before us. But at the end of the day, everyone really wants that. And that's really what I appreciate. So yeah, we were an elite sales performer again at the platinum level, which is awesome for us, because there's so few agencies in the country that got this award and got it at the level that we received it. And I also want to point out that we have been doing this since, are you ready for this? Because you're not going to find this for very many places out there, since 2002.
What?
Our agency has been open since 2002. We were one of the absolute first agencies to be named an authorized Disney Vacation Planner or an earmarked agency. So just having been in the program, it's funny. I was thinking of that because the earmarked program celebrates 15 years this year, and we've been there since the very beginning. So anyways, just so proud of our team and so thankful that people trust us with their vacations. We love being your partners in planning. So thank you to everybody.
Absolutely. Thank you so much to all the guests. If you've never used a travel agent, you know, it costs you nothing extra. You're going to get great service. You get little booking bonuses. You just really can't beat it. So drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials. While you're there, fill out that free quote form and just, you know, possible travel dates. See what's out there, and you never know what will happen. But do check them out over at themagicforless.com. 2002, Ricky, you were like in second grade. Just kidding.
I was not in
second
grade.
I was doing the
grade.
Calculations. Like, you're young. That's a long time. Just kidding.
I was definitely not in second grade. I was definitely an adult at that point. So thank you very much.
There you go. All right. And again, it's one of the tips.
I wasn't an adult for long, but I was an adult at that point.
And again, you know, please, when you shop on Amazon, use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that so very much. And give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And again, on the social media, all the channels, wherever you put it, we'll find it. Hashtag is this romantic this weekend. Talk to your significant other. If you're single, maybe this is why you're single, because you need some is this romantic advice. I don't know. We're going to have a great time with this. We love
this
show.
Mike's
every
advice.
Valentine's. Yeah, don't take
no
mine.
Sauerkraut.
That's, yeah,
hashtag
no sauerkraut. That's it. So, do use the hashtag and we'll find it on the social media. But is this romantic? Give
Not
us your
the
suggestions
hashtag,
for
no
Monday.
The hashtag is this romantic.
It is.
Don't do the other one.
All right. You know what? It's time to get out of here and let you guys have a great weekend. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back again on Monday with an awesome trip report. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great weekend. Until we see you again, we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.